This program is made possible by the members of the Church Street Baptist Church in Greensboro, North Carolina.
By the Lord's help, I want to talk to you this morning on the power of music. Tonight, if the Lord will allow me to, I'm going to go off to the side a little bit and talk to you about the power of godly music. But this morning, I'm looking at the book of Daniel, chapter 3, and I'm looking in verse 1. A story that we have all read, we've all heard. It's the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These three Hebrew boys that were given Babylonian names. And we find here that when we reach them, they are on the plains of Dura. That's right outside of what we would call today modern day Tikrit and Mosul in Iraq. And that day it was right outside of the capital city of Babylon. The Bible says in verse number 1 of chapter 3 of the book of Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits, and set it up in the plain of Dura, in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then an herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Therefore at that time when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people and the nations and the languages fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up." Now, Father, this morning I know that when you get into the devil's wheelhouse of music, and I know, Father, what he does in the minds of people, and I pray this morning you give us liberty and clarity. Let Christ be exalted. Lord, if your people, which are called by your name, if they are right, then they will glorify you. So set our minds right so that we might bring glory and honor to the name of Jesus. For it is in his name we pray. Amen. Nebuchadnezzar is the old wicked king of Babylon. And he goes out one day and he decides, he says, "You know, I don't have enough praise. I'd love for people to start worshiping me." And so what does he do? He makes a big image of himself, 60 cubits, the Bible says. If a cubit's 18 inches in length, that's roughly a 90-foot tall statue set up on the plain of Dura. I have a picture of kindly what that would look like, the massive image it would be in the midst of a flat plain. Imagine 9 stories tall of solid gold set up on the plains of Dura. And here's what Nebuchadnezzar does. He says, "I want you to gather together everybody that's within shouting distance, everybody that's within traveling distance, and I want you to come. And what I want you to do is I want you to gather them together, and I want you to worship this image." Now here's what happens. Verse number 4 tells us that when Nebuchadnezzar does this, he gets a man who is called a herald. An H-E-R-A-L-D, a herald, that's one that would be the proclaimer of the truth. We have heralds today. It's called Facebook and TV and radio. That's how you get the message out. But in the Bible days, they would use a herald. And this is what the herald says. He gets in front of all of these people, probably 100,000 people. And he shouts as loud as he can. And he says, when you hear the sound of the music, you are to bow down and worship the image of the king Nebuchadnezzar. I was thinking about this the other day and I thought about something. Why didn't the herald just say, when I count to three, everybody bow down? If they could hear him say what they were supposed to do, doesn't it make sense that he could just go 3, 2, 1, but he didn't. He said, this is what I want you to do. When you hear the music, that's when I want you to bow. Why did he put everything to the rhythm of music? One reason. He knew the power of the melody. He knew the power of the harmony. He knew the power of the rhythm. He knew the power of music. He said, what I cannot get all of these people to do, I can put all of these people in unity and I can get them to do something as emotional as worship if they'll just listen to the music. Music is one of the most powerful things in the human element. It's interesting to me that music, if you read in Webster's dictionary, the dictionary will say that music is nothing more than any combination of resonant notes. But brothers and sisters, music is so much more than that. Music is something that can be a blessing or it can be a blister. It can bring healing or it can bring heartbreak. On one side of the radio, you got a man weeping because his wife left him and took the dog. On the other side of the radio at the same time, a man could be crying and weeping because he thinks about mama not being there at Christmas. On the other side of the radio, you can have a woman that hopes and longs for dreams of a romantic marriage, and she's married to a man named Bubba. Music has power. Brothers and sisters, what you have got to understand is that music is in every element of our existence. There's a reason why the church uses music. There's a reason why restaurants use music. There's a reason why psychologists play music in psychiatric wards. There's a reason why music, because there is a power that is in the melody and in the harmony of music. Brothers and sisters, can I remind you this morning that you are the people of God. You are not the people of Tyler. You are not the people of Church Street. If you've been blood bought, blood washed, saved by the blood of the Lamb of God, you belong to Jesus Christ, the crucified one. You belong to the one that died for you. You belong to the one that paid for you. And you belong to the one that purchased your soul. This morning, when I'm talking about the power of music, I'm not talking to the honky-tonk crowd. I'm not talking to the 102 Jams crowd. I'm not even talking to the crowd that listens to old country music, good old boy stuff. I'm talking to the people of God. This morning, it grieves my soul what has become the poison of music in the church of Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, if you wanted to listen to the honky-tonk or the bebop or the hoodop or the g-jop, you used to have to go down to the honky-tonk. You used to have to find you a jukebox. And 9 out of 10 people now, if they want to hear what we would call dancing style music, we want to get that flowing on the inside. You don't have to go to a honky-tonk. You just tune in to the local church broadcast that's on the internet. You go to the local quote-unquote house of worship and they'll be doing more jumping and jiving and geeing and hying on that stage and on that platform than Aretha Franklin ever thought about doing R-E-S-P-E-C-T-O-U-G-M-B. I'm telling you, the church has become the hotbed of poisonous music. And here's what we don't realize. The devil has fed a poison to the church. And we just willingly turn it up. Churches all over America drink the sop the devil's put into the juice. Here is the question that I have to ask. I don't even worry about those kind of churches. You know why I don't worry about those kind of churches? Because most of those churches, without making generic statements, they wouldn't know God if He slapped them in the face with a 2x4 labeled Holy Ghost. They wouldn't know Him. They don't have a clue who He is. They don't know the Bible. They don't know much about it. I'm not even talking about those people. I'm talking about the people that I know. I'm talking about the people that go to our church. I'm talking about the people that watch us online and the people that, if I told you right now that there is going to be a man come into your house and he's going to feed your youngins arsenic and he's going to poison your family, you know what you'd do? You'd say, tell me who it is, tell me when he's going to be there, and you'd be waiting on him with your good buddy Smith and Wesson. You wouldn't allow it. You wouldn't put up with that. But every single day on your phone and on your radio and on our TVs and wherever else you want to see it, we open up the floodgate of poison and we allow it to come into our house. Here's what's interesting to me about it. We say it's worship, but it's nothing more than feel-good flesh. We say it's this, but it's nothing more. And here's what gets me about this. We do it in the church, but that's bad enough. I got that. But down at the Coliseum, here's what they'll do. Matt Brown or Matt, whoever the guy is that runs the Coliseum in the county and the city, they'll spend hundreds of thousands of dollars to open up their doors, and they'll have country music, and they'll have rock, they'll have rap, they'll have this, and they'll have that. And this is what we'll do. We'll give Christmas presents to one another as we open up the floodgates of hell, and we say, let's go down there. It's innocent fun, and we march ourselves down in there. We pay the $195.99 to get on the very nosebleed section just to hear some guy as three shades to the wind slept with 14 different people that day, snorted five different brands of crack cocaine that day, and has licked it down with the dime you just put in there and I put in there, and we go and we listen. Do you know why? Because it does something. There's a power. There's a power to it. And this one gets me. We think no more about it. We take pictures of ourselves. And we post them. You say, I know what I need to do. I need to block the preacher. Let me help you something right quick. You can block the preacher. You can block the deacons. You can block the choir. You can block the church. But you can't block God. He doesn't have a friend button. And He sure enough don't have an unblock button or a block button. You can't knock God out. You can't put Him out. And here's what's happening. The people of God have opened up hell. And we can't figure out why there's so much hell. I'm talking about the power of music. So let me take the Bible this morning and tell you what the Bible says about music. I have 3 points. Number one, I want to talk to you about music's creation. You see, there was a day in the vast infinities of nothingness. There was a day in the vast infinities when there was absolutely nothing but God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. There were no colors, there were no shapes, there was no heaven. There was no space, there was no time, there was just God. God didn't need anybody. God is God. God doesn't have to have anybody. God has God. When you've got the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost of fellowship, who do you need? But God in His power and God in His wisdom and God in His goodness, He decided one day, He said, I would love to share who I am. And so what did He do? In the beginning, God created. And at that very moment, in the vast expanses of nothing, God the Father took God the Son, that is the Word of God, and through the power of the breath of His mouth, He brought absolutely everything out of absolutely nothing. He brought shapes where there were no shapes. He brought colors where there were no colors. He brought trees where there was not even grass to plant those trees in. He brought dirt where there was no earth. He brought earth where there was no space. He put stars where there were no sockets. And in the vast expanses of it all, He said, listen to the sound. It's empty. God created music. God created the harmonies and the melodies. Where did God get the idea of harmony and melody? In heaven, God the Father sang the melody. And God the Son sang the second part of the harmony. And God the Holy Ghost sang the third part of the harmony. But how many parts are there in music? What's the fourth part of the music? It's to be the church of Jesus Christ. It's to be the church that sings in harmony with God. But too many churches do their own things. And so God brought music, but He said, who will sing the music? Who will play? The Bible tells us in the book of Ezekiel, chapter number 28, verse 14 down through verse number 17, we find that God created the angels. And over each segment of the angels, He put an archangel. Over the Father's angels, He put Michael, the warring angel. Over the Spirit's angels, He put Gabriel, who is the helping angel. But over the Son's angels, He put Lucifer. The Bible says in Ezekiel chapter 28 that in Lucifer, He put all types of stones in His chest and in His pipes, the organ. Lucifer's job was to lay over the glory of God. And as God, who is light, 1 John tells us, as He would lay back over the light and over the wind that is the Holy Ghost, the wind would shoot forth out of those pipes and the light would shine through those lights and would create the greatest musical feast and the wonderful light show. And that was Satan's job, was to be the music director in heaven. And in the moment that Satan was created, there was a song in heaven. Heaven was filled with music. Job chapter 38, verse number 7 tells us that when God brought together the earth, the scripture says the sons of God sang at creation. What does that mean? It means that when God reached down into nothing and pulled out a handful of nothing and threw it, and the stars of heaven flung in their sockets, there was a group of angels, a third of the angels, led by the maestro of heaven. His name was Lucifer. And they raised up a song and said, holy is the Lord God Almighty, matchless in His works. And they sang in harmony. And there was a song in heaven. But something happened, which leads me to point two, which is music's corruption. Music's corruption. Because the day came in Isaiah chapter 14 when Satan himself, Lucifer, he said five I will statements. He said, I will ascend to the throne of the Most High. I will be like the Most High. I will. And he exalted himself. And the Bible says that God took Lucifer himself and threw him right out of heaven with a third of the angels. And the dragon encompassed a third of the angels. Which angels did he take? The singing angels. And that day, the song left heaven. In that moment, the song left heaven. You know what you'll find in the Bible? After Isaiah chapter 14, when he was thrown out of heaven, there's not been one song sung in heaven since. Not one time do you see any angel singing in heaven. You say Satan comes down to the earth. You say, what's he doing on earth? Well, now Satan is using his gift of music. What was he wanting in heaven? Worship. And what is he doing today? He's using the power of music to wean away the worship from God. Because the moment that God's creation doesn't worship God, who do they worship? You say it doesn't have that kind of power. Really? I have seen grown men cry. Men that have boogers so far up in their head, they wouldn't know sensitivity if it slapped them in the face. I've seen grown men cry on Mother's Day listening to butterfly kisses. I've seen grown men with beers down to their belly buttons, beer drinking, pot smoking men that weep when a song about mama comes on. Music has a power. It resonates down in the soul. You say, what in the world does that have to do with worship? I'm glad you asked. Because I was looking at something the other day, and I remember it from when I was a boy. I'd seen the video, and I thought, there's no way Nebuchadnezzar can sound all of that music and get people in harmony. How many of you remember from years ago, your unsaved days, whatever, back in the late 80s, there was a group led by a man whose name was Freddie Mercury and Queen. Years ago at Wembley Stadium, they had an AIDS benefit concert. There were over 100,000 people there. Freddie Mercury got up and he did something that is amazing. 100,000 people, he put them in unity with the sound of his voice. I have a clip of it. Don, make sure the sound. I want you to watch what Freddie Mercury does with just his voice. One voice, 100,000 people. You're telling me everybody in that crowd could sing? No. You're telling me in that crowd, every one of those knew pitch, they knew how to go up, they knew how to go down. In a room like this, there's so many tone deaf people, it ain't funny. Can you imagine 100,000 people? But yet when one man took the power of music, he got 100,000 people to do whatever he wants. Youngins, can I tell you something? Every time you stick those things inside of your head and that filth comes on that radio, I have talked to people, I have dealt with people, they're in that industry, they know the purpose, they know what they're doing. You can't figure out why you have no power. You can't figure out why you have no peace. Brothers and sisters, can I tell you why God doesn't stay around us long? Because we get out of here and the first thing we put on out there is another country song, is another rap song. It's another rock song. It's another song like this. And we can't figure out, God, where'd you go? I'll tell you where God went. He went the way of the dodo bird because we are bowing at the feet. You say, but there's no way, no way a note could get me to do what it wanted to. I found another video. I sent it to Heather and she said, what is this? I said, watch it. It's a crowd of roughly 75,000 people, and I want you to watch when the DJ puts the song on. It's a conglomeration of just racket, my grandmother would call it. Watch them jump in unity. Opened it up. Some of you go through your phone and you just scroll and over and over and over and over. Brothers and sisters, you know me. I'm not a mean preacher, but I'm telling you right now, you know who's to blame for 9 out of 10 of these youngins getting hooked on that mess? They were sitting in the driver's seat that brought them youngins to church. It's mama's fault. It's daddy's fault. It's grandma's fault for listening to that mess. You're the one that took them there. I thought about this today. My little boy has got this iTunes account. He buys his candy bubble breaking wrestle whatever he's buying. And you know what he has to have in order to have that account? It's an amazing thing. Me and my wife had to do something. We had to put our credit card number inside of that iTunes account, and we threatened his life because one time he did spend $395 without telling us just to buy bubbles. You know what my wife did? We didn't know what it was. We thought somebody had hacked our account. If I'm lying, I'm dying. I'll tell you what we did. We called American Express. We said somebody's hacked our account. Cut it off. They sent the police. They sent the FBI. And there's my little Mason in his bedroom just looking like this, wondering at what point he's getting ready to get hauled off. But you realize Mason can't buy a blessed thing on his own. Guess who had to put the credit card in the machine? Mama and Daddy. Last time I checked, they don't give big accounts and big credit card accounts to kids that don't have any credit, that don't have a house, and don't have a car. Mama's got a sign, Daddy's got a sign, and here's what's happening. That filth is getting in the youngin's head. You can't figure out why they're dealing with depression. You can't figure out why they're dealing with all types of things. You can't figure out why they want to kill themselves. You can't figure out why they're thinking about alcohol. You can't figure out why they're sleeping with their family. You can't figure out why this is happening. I'll tell you why. It's going in the ear gate and it's settling down in the foundation of their soul. It's the power of music. I don't mind getting a lot of amens because I know what some of your phones look like and I imagine what your cars are looking like, but I promise you I came in preaching and I'm going out preaching and I won't be scared by this whole thing. We are the criminals in the eyes of God. Go ahead and listen to that mess. Help yourself. My wife and I will go get some arsenic and we'll feed it to their bodies because you're feeding it to their souls. It's killing us. You say, I'm not jumping up and down with a bunch of fools. Me neither. But what I do in moderation, my youngins will do in excess. That's music's creation, music's corruption. I'm going to talk to you a whole lot tonight about what good music is and how do you determine what it is from the Bible. But I got to get to the third point because I need to talk about music's commander. I need to talk about music's conductor because I need to get back to the story in the book of Daniel chapter number 3. Because here's what happens. There's 100,000 people that are bowed down on the plains of Dura. But sticking up in the middle of that field, there are three boys. There's Shadrach and there's Meshach. And there's Abednego. You say, what are they doing? While everybody else is a-singing, you know what they're doing? They're standing. I want to tell you something right now. It's not going to be a popular thing to say, I'm not doing that. It's not going to be a popular thing to say, I'm not bowing to that. It's not going to be a popular thing to say, I'm not listening to that. It's not going to be a popular thing to say, you are deleting that. It's not going to be a popular thing to say that you can't have that on your phone. Let me rephrase that. You can't have that on the phone that I bought for you and gave you there. You say, I can't do that. You know what they used to do in the old days? How many of you remember those big vinyl records? You know what the old timers used to do when your grandmama found out that you'd been bebopping and doo-wopping with the Bee Gees? You know what your grandma would do? She'd come in there, she'd get that thing, and son, she'd snap it like a piece of hardened cornbread. You say, I can't snap it anymore. Oh, yes, you can. And you'd be surprised at how liberating it'll feel. I'll tell you what you do tonight. You go in there with that little kid sleep because they can't stay awake forever. You say, I can't do it. I'll tell you what you do. Go in and put a mask on so they won't know who you are. Say amen right there. And just go into their bedroom and grab that phone and you take it outside and you get your DeWalt hammer and you take that DeWalt hammer and you smash that phone. You say, how are they going to call me? Bless God, I was at Verizon the other day. You know what they have? They still have the old-fashioned old-fashioned flip phones. You flip it open and you flip it closed. You flip it open and you flip it closed. You know what I had with my flip phone? I had the same numbers in my flip phone, Dwayne, as I have in my iPhone. It'll make phone calls just like the other one, but I'm telling you something. I'm not doing it. I'm not going to be around it. If I have to stand and it's just me, I won't stand by myself, because I'll be standing with God the Father. I'll be standing with God the Son, and I'll be standing with God the Holy Ghost. And I'm finding that I'm not standing by myself, because there's some mamas and some daddies and some grannies and some papas and some young people that say, I'm not fooling with that mess. I'm not letting that poison get in. And we're standing. But you say it's hard to stand while the whole world's singing. It is hard to stand while the whole world's singing. Here's what they did, though. While the whole world was singing and the whole world was bowing and the whole world was worshiping, they picked up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they took them over to a fiery furnace, and they threw them in the fiery furnace, and they lit that sucker up 4 times hotter than it had ever been. And watch what happened. Everybody else got up off of that field, and they went and they stood in the fire as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in that fire. Good God, I feel like preaching right here. You know what they found out? They found out they didn't need the world's music, because when they got in the fire, the music conductor, he showed up all by himself, and he said, flames, sing me a song. He said, angels, sing me a story. He said, tell me a little bit about it. Now watch this. Out there on the field, they stood while everybody else was singing, but the day came in the fire when the flames were hot that they sang while everybody else was standing. You say, what in God's name are you talking about? Here's what I'm talking about. When you get in the fire and the people out there, their songs won't make it in the fire. Their music won't make it in the fire. But I've got a fire. I've got a song that got put in my soul, and the Holy Ghost put it there. And he said, when the flames are shooting high and the fire's getting hot, it'll give you something to sing about. Amen. Now here, I got one more thing. One more. Remember how I said there's no song in heaven? Watch, broke. You know how I said there's no song in heaven? There's only one other time you see angels singing in the Bible. It's in Luke chapter 2, verse 1 through verse 38. And it's on the back fields of Bethlehem. The Bible says, and the angel Gabriel appears. Gabriel's not a singing angel. Gabriel is the helping angel. He wasn't there to take over. He was just there to fill in. And he says, there's been a baby born right down the road. And he tells the shepherds, you go down there and you look at that baby. You'll find him wrapped in swaddling clothes in a manger beside his mama. And all of a sudden, the Bible says, on that earth, standing beside the angel Gabriel, are a host of heavenly angels. And the scripture says they start singing. They start singing, but there's still no song in heaven. But do you realize that the song in heaven is about to crank up? Because you fast forward to the book of Revelation chapter number 5, and you look in verse number 9. Here's what the Bible says. He says, and I looked, and I beheld, and there were 24 elders and the 4 living beasts and a host of the redeemed. And guess what they're doing? They are singing a new song. You say, when's the song coming back to heaven? Here's when the song is going to come back to heaven. Good God in heaven, when the skies part open and the trumpet sounds and Gabriel marches us up out of this land, and God the Father tells God the Son, go get your bride. And he raptures the heaven, the host of the redeemed. As we get up out of here, there's going to be tone deaf people that ain't never sung a day in their life. You know what's going to happen? They're going to find their song between here and home. And as we get home, you know what's going to happen? We're going to march inside that city. Old Dwayne's going to play his stringed instrument like he ain't never played before. We're going to find an organ in heaven, and Cheryl's going to march down and she's going to play an organ. You say, I can't carry an organ. It'll take God, but honey, I guarantee you can do it. And we're going to see Scott pick up a piano, bless God, that was made in the glory world, and he's going to play, and people that have never sung and people that have never worshiped, they're going to get in heaven, and we're going to sing a new song, and in heaven we'll sing and we'll shout and we'll praise God, and we will restore the song in heaven. Here's a whole message. Why does the devil try to get us with songs down here? Are you ready? Because everything we do down here is practice for what we're going to do up there. And if you can ruin choir practice, there's no telling what you think. But you see, there's a remnant of people, and they say, uh-uh. I'm keeping the song pure. I'm not letting that filth in. Beloved, hear me and hear me well. If you don't think music doesn't have power, you've never worked with a teenager. I have seen good teenagers, good ones, love God, act like the blessed devil. And I asked Mama, what changed? Miss Evelyn, what changed? You're not feeding them like you're supposed to? You're not bringing them to church? And they'll say, I'm doing everything I... And there's only one thing that's changed. It's what's going into the ear gate and settling in the foundation of the soul. I'm so afraid that what drugs can't do, I'm so afraid what drinking and what divorcing will never do to these people in this church. What you allow to come into your ear gate going to destroy you. You know, they say arsenic doesn't kill you quickly. It's a slow death. And the devil's poison is a slow death. Scott, follow me. Help me. I've listened. Lord, have mercy. In all of my days, I have listened. Amazing grace. In just a second. I've listened to a thousand songs, thousands of pieces. I've listened. I can't say that I've ever listened to one and noticed at that moment it jolted. But I can always tell when the poison enters here, slowly rips it here. And those mamas and daddies need to get right just like these kids. In fact, I'm believing that the mamas and daddies probably need to get right before the kids get right. I've heard a thousand songs, Scott. But I've been young and I'm getting older. I've never heard a song sweeter than Amazing Grace. I've never heard a song. When my soul is overwhelmed, it's never made me want to rebel. It's never made me weary. It's never ever made me want to fight. It's never made me want to cheat. It's never made me want to steal. It's never fed that pride in my soul. But when my soul is tossed to and fro, I hear the melody, and then the harmony starts. And all of a sudden, peace. You see, the power of music is a two-sided sword. In the same swipe that the devil tries to kill, the creator of music says, I will allow it to heal. In the same swipe that the devil says, I'll pull you from God, God says, let the melody pull your soul to the great conductor of eternity. The devil says, run from God. And God uses simple melody. Keep playing, my brother. In harmony. To say, come unto me. Good God. To all ye that labor. The swipe of the sword swings both ways. I don't think you set out to do it. I don't think you set out to do it to bring harm to your soul. But most poisonous things we allow in our system come subtly, very subtly. You say, I'm afraid of what? If you're drinking poison, it doesn't matter what anybody thinks if you're trying to get it out of your system. I'd find repentance before a holy God. We're going to stand in just a second, and I want mamas and daddies to come and pray. I want youngins to come and say, God, I'm sorry. And in the same swipe, I want you to take that stupid phone and start deleting that mess. Just restore the whole thing. You say, I'll lose that money. I promise you, if you walk with God, you won't even miss it. It's gone anyways. Some pothead down the road in Memphis, some pothead in Nashville, some pothead in Los Angeles has done dope that up and smoked that up and used that to glorify the devil. It's about time the people of God let the harmony of the Holy Ghost heal them. Let the harmony of the Holy Ghost heal them.